Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
From all your friends at Podcast One, thank you for a wonderful 2018, and we hope 2019 is even better.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
This is Heather Dubrow from Heather Dubrow's World.
Hey, it's Steve Austin from the Steve Austin Show.
Hey, this is Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana from Riggle's Picks.
This is Caitlin Bristow from Off the Vine.
Hey, this is Kelsey from The Lady Gang. Happy New Year from Podcast One.
Carolla Drinks invites you to a very classy event in 2019, the 10E Booze and Book Club, with me, Mike Dawson. Some have said they'd pay me to read the phone book, so get your tickets now to hear me read chapters from Left of Boom, January 8th, with CIA Special Agent Douglas Laux. Ghost, February 7th, with FBI Undercover Agent Michael R. McGowan. Up on Game, March 7th, with former bank robber Richard Stanley. The Miracle Man, April 2nd, with minister, singer-songwriter, and author Buck Storm. The Pact, May 9th, with former Army Green Beret combat medic Sergeant Robert Patrick Lewis. Mistrial, June 7th, with attorney Mark Garrigus. Each event will feature a live reading with me, followed by a question and answer period with each author, and a reception with a Mangria signature cocktail. Buy the entire series and get 6 shows for the price of 5. For tickets, follow at Carolla Drinks and at Dos Angeles. Tickets also available at 10E in downtown Los Angeles. Or email Dawson at adamcarolla.com. Carolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club. Get it on in 2019.
And welcome to Carolla Classics. This is executive producer Chris Loxamana of The Adam Carolla Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And with me today, and every day that we're doing this, Superfan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Gio. Great to hear from you. So what we're going to do for the holiday break is, instead of playing a full best of episode, we've cut clips, our favorite clips over the years of The Adam Carolla Show, Adam Carolla Podcast, much like the Black Friday episodes. If you like that, you're going to love this, except there's no racial theme for these episodes. So why don't we just go ahead and get started. The first clip that we're going to be playing is from 2011. John Cho, show favorite. He's also a big fan of the show. He's a listener. And what can you tell us about this one, Gio?
John Cho, as you mentioned, huge fan of the show. He actually came on Loveline back in 04 and 05 with Cal Penn promoting Harold and Kumar. And if you're a fan of that movie, those two episodes are like extended director's commentaries. And he developed this great rapport with Adam that I was waiting to hear rekindled on air. He actually gives a quick version of his journey and tells him about his dad's generation in post-war Korea. It's really interesting and unlike anything else he's done on the show.
So enjoy John Cho from 2011.
Presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Gulf Hammock, Florida. A 21-year-old man was hunting alone and accidentally shot himself in the foot with a crossbow. The man had to be rescued because he is paraplegic and the crossbow bolt pinned his foot to the floor of his all-terrain vehicle! Definitely not a Jew!
Yeah. Love those. Thanks, Alcoa, for sponsoring us. It's a lion's share of our money comes in from Alcoa.
The good people at Alcoa.
The good people at Alcoa for sponsoring. Definitely not a Jew. John Cho in here, a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas out as we speak. John, a dear, 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 dear friend who I see every 4 years when he promotes Harold and Kumar. But I like him. I like him. And South Korean, yes?
I believe so.
And came out, what story? I see your dad's a reverend here.
Yeah.
How did that work? When did you come out? How does that work?
Oh, well, I was born in Korea.
we came here in 78. I was six years old.
Ooh, right about the time I was sticking the fruit roll-up on the few years earlier.
So we moved around a lot, eventually settled in Glendale, actually. And so this is familiar turf
for me. Did people even know what Koreans were back then, or they just sort of had you as Japanese?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It was, in fact, that was a great source of consternation for my parents. We were in Houston first. And if you're Korean, you get miffed when people call you Japanese or Chinese. And they literally didn't know what the word Korean was.
Did the Japanese and the Koreans didn't get along that well historically, right?
Yes. The Japanese basically colonized Korea, outlawed the language and the culture. So yeah, there's some bad blood,
right? And the good folks from Houston, especially in the early 70s, were like, I don't know what to listen, I did not know the difference between Japanese food and Chinese food till I was like 28. I really didn't. I was just like, it was like Asian food. Like,
you know what's weird? I didn't either, in a weird
really?
way. Like, I you know, because you'd be, we just thought of ourselves as Korean. We didn't really think of ourselves as Asian necessarily. I know that that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, I didn't really know other Asians till I was in high school. And actually, really, we had Koreans in Glendale, but I didn't really meet other Asians until college.
Stop me if I'm wrong here. Koreans are some of the toughest people around. I found them to be
got a good look at me, huh?
Scrappy.
Yes.
I just mean, I always remember during the riots out here in the early 90s when everyone was sort of taken to the hills and they're having curfews and stuff. And the Koreans like, we're getting on the roof and we're getting a hunting rifle. And if any of the Schwarzers come around, try to help themselves to a Slurpee, they're getting shot. Like, the Koreans hit the roof with the rifles. Everyone else was like, we're heading out of here. Yeah, we got insurance. That's enough. They set the place on fire. Yeah, right there, we got a picture of a small battalion of Koreans on the roof with parapets. And
headbands.
And headbands and hunting rifles.
I think you're right. I think, you know, like my dad's generation, they... For instance, my dad was 9 when the Korean War broke out, and you know, they were. He tells me crazy stories about during his childhood. They would find him and his gang of boys would find weapons that were left by retreating soldiers. They would do things like remove silk from Chinese hand grenades for the silk.
Oh, really?
Things like that. They would find buried weapons. It was a rough time. And, you know, it was cities weren't cities as such at the time. So a lot of those guys, that previous generation, my father's generation, my friend's fathers, they come from rough backgrounds. So, yeah, they're a little they're weathered.
Yeah. When the shit goes down, they get the hunting rifle and get on the roof and they make it right.
Yeah.
So you come out here in 76, yeah, or 78, 78 Houston.
Yeah.
When you're 6, did you say it?
Yes.
Is that correct? And then eventually get out to Glendale.
Yeah.
And
Promised Land.
Your dad is, what's he doing? Is he preaching?
Well, by the time we got here, he was he had a small Korean congregation here.
And he wants for you what?
To star in weed movies.
Aggressive.
That was the dream.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, he didn't actually talk to me that much about a specific career. But, I mean, he wanted me to go to college, obviously.
Right.
And then I majored in English, which I think he was deflated about a little bit, but
really?
Wasn't.
Well, yeah,
what do you want, biology?
Language.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he didn't push
me. Well, what
anything.
If you went to college and majored in Korean? Your parents would be pissed.
What, that is,
there you go. That's
there
a
you
good
go.
Point.
Yeah.
Now, deep. Now, was a Cal Penn?
I never looked at it that way.
Heavy.
Yeah. Seriously.
No.
You do the snort.
Yeah, big
snort.
Good sniff.
Wow. Thank you. Good sniff time. Yeah.
How where you like did you go to college and bum your dad out?
UCLA,
Berkeley.
Oh, Cal Penn went to. Who went to UCLA? Was that Cal?
Cal, yeah.
Yeah,
Cal.
Okay. Between the Cal and the Berkeley and the Cal Berkeley and then
that's
the UCLA, it's goddamn confusing.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't even like calling it Cal. It does seem obnoxious. Like everyone should know what Cal is.
My mom went there and she claims that that's what everyone called it back then. But she's a liar. So
that's a really
wow.
That's a strong accusation. I mean, that's a really good school and a tough school to get into. So
I transferred there. I didn't do well in high school, but I went to a community college. I went to 4 year. My first year, didn't like it. Went to a community college and went. That's how I got.
Wow.
To
Wow, where'd you go 4 year?
You know, it was through a church thing. I went to Pepperdine University out of Malibu there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't.
You could do a lot worse than Pepperdine.
Yeah, you could. One could do a lot worse than Pepperdine.
I mean, just being up at the chapel. I'm sure you've been up at the chapel up there.
Yeah.
Just overlooking the Pacific Ocean up on
it's
that
really
hill.
Beautiful.
Bunny rabbits running around on that hill all over the place. People just laying around on towels all over the time.
Tripping over rabbits.
Yeah, I mean, just rabbits running around up there. I mean, it's gorgeous up there.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. See, it's always think about sending your kid to a place that's so nice. Like, this is what happens when they go to San Diego State. It's like they're going to Tijuana every weekend and partying, or they go to Arizona State, and they're just, it's so hot and it's so nice. And there's a part of me, like, I have a lot of friends that went to, or a handful of friends that went to UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And they could never integrate themselves back into society.
Right.
Because it's after,
right.
And my friends didn't graduate in 4 years, but after 9 years of going to UC Santa Barbara,
that's a long time.
They're used to just riding skateboards and wearing cutoffs. And the idea of coming back to LA and getting a shitty job at some photo processing place did not bode well for the dudes who are ripping bong loads and staring at the ocean. And they rented houses that were up on the cliff in Isla Vista, they lived with nine dudes and stared at the sunset going down to the Pacific. Every day.
Why
too
leave?
Good.
Right.
Yeah, why leave? You'd be like Dawson.
Right. You want to go somewhere where the notion of a job is also exciting because, heat.
Right. But if you send them to Wisconsin, they'll pack on 70 pounds.
Mm. And cheese.
And, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm trying to
this
think.
Is scientific. I
so,
like it.
Berkeley is nice because it's beautiful, but it's not that hot. You gotta put a jacket on.
You're right.
And also, you know, the curriculum is pretty tough. You have to keep up, right?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it was a legit school. I appreciate the education I got from there. It was also like I can't believe I'm talking about college, but it's been a long time. But the thing that I didn't like about Pepperdine probably was it was this city apart from the city. It was this own little utopian society there, and I wanted to go somewhere where there were other people besides students. And I had a girlfriend at the time that's why I went to Berkeley and experienced it and thought this is what I want. This is a city. There's real people going around. There's so many bums.
Yeah.
And urine all over.
Yeah.
You wanted what Felicity wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Real life experience.
Real life, yeah. Same hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was on Felicity.
You were?
Yeah, first season.
Come on.
How dare you not know that?
I borrow my
How
box
dare
set?
You.
But it's like I did know.
Yeah,
I do,
in a weird
I do
way,
want
you did know
set.
That.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. Were you a regular?
No, I wasn't a regular, Allison. God.
Jeez. How dare you? Allison.
What was the plot line that involved you? This is something I should know. I think maybe I've had a stroke.
There was a... J.J. Abrams directed that episode.
John, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I mean...
About
that you're going to have to witness my being fired.
Yeah, I mean, this is uncomfortable.
This will be my last show.
It's uncomfortable for me. I can only imagine what John feels.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Berkeley is full of hills, full of bums, full of people that you can't really distinguish from students and townies and even bums sometimes. Like, it's just
well, also,
a mishmash.
Then it crosses, and then there's the student douchebag who's asking for money for beer. Who thinks he's clever?
Does he address himself as a student douchebag?
Can you run for that?
It says it on a student ID. I'm
most
just assuming.
Likely to become a douchebag. All right, Allison, you have some news. And by the way, the movie Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas is out as we speak. HaroldandKumar.com is the website and the Twitter. You can Twitter him at John the Cho. All right, jump in, John. And by the way, when we kick some of this news out here.
And then after this, you can tell us which Felicity episode you were on, because I think we all want to know.
Man, pull the scab right off that wound, didn't you?
And we are back with another clip for you guys. This one comes from 2015. Brad Williams, show favorite, the only guest that's shorter than me. And Gio, what can you tell us about this?
Adam Carolla Show, episode 1523. We never played the full reenactment from this episode during the 9-year anniversary show earlier this year. It's the ultimate case of new listener blue balls. It's one of the funniest reenactments, and Adam cut it off right before it went to the insanity level. So I wanted everybody to actually hear this full thing.
All right, enjoy. Brad Williams.
I had a buddy get busted for that. He had the baby seat in the back, but no baby. He used to use that for the HOV lane, and cop pulled him over one day. And, of course, my buddy kept a blanket over the baby seat. Pulled him over, and the cop's like, sir,
we're going to wake the baby. I can't take the blanket off.
This is a carpool lane. He's like, oh, the baby's in the back. He's like, can I see the baby? Just give me the ticket. That's
well,
how
what
it
about,
went.
What about pregnant women who are very, very pregnant saying, I'm driving for two?
I'll let them do it.
No, because that's two behind the wheel.
Be the cop. I'll tell you what your buddy should have done.
Okay. Sir, I notice you're driving in a high occupancy vehicle.
Yeah,
lane
I am.
And,
if you could keep it down.
Is there a child behind you?
Under the blanket.
Oh, okay.
SUV. I mean, I'm driving SUV. Sure, with UV rays.
No, I understand. I actually do legally have to see the child. Would you mind just moving the blanket a tiny bit?
Well, I'd hate to wake little Cicely up, but I guess you got to do your job.
Yeah, I'm bound by it.
Well, she knows me, so if you don't mind, I'll just lift the blanket off. You take a look through the back window, and then we're kind of running late.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
I mean, you're doing your job. I understand.
Yeah.
Let me just peel the blanket back just a little bit here. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Is there a dingo around here? Is there so... We were at the Costco in Van Nuys. She was strapped in three ways to fucking Sunday. Oh, my God. Do that Amber thing. Do the Amber thing. Her name is Cicely. Don't worry about the last name. I had pretty bad divorce from a Mexican dude or an Arab dude. Either way, get on the blower. There's no time to waste.
Sir, I frankly find your story hard to believe.
No time to waste. What do they say in your parlance? Stat. Stat. Get that goddamn Amber going.
I believe that's a medical term.
All right, whatever. Then hurry. I want to see every electronic billboard on the time with the same Cicely, by the way. Not with an S. With a C. You understand? She's about 2 foot nothing, and she can't survive long in the mouth of that dingo. Or was it the Mexican dad?
Sir, I'm going to need you to sign this ticket. It's not acknowledging.
Anything that'll speed this process up. Anything that'll get you, and then it'll get you to that squawk box faster, and it'll get that thing up on the mainframe there, because she is in the mouth of a Mexican. I mean, her dad is from, she may have gone back to Guadalajara on a dingo.
Right.
With a Middle Eastern guy in Sally Fields. Either way, let's get moving.
Well, that'll happen right away. I'm
speaking in this tone, but I am so shocked right now to realize that my little daughter, Sandy, is not under that blanket.
You said a different name earlier.
What?
Cicely, I believe, is the name.
Sir, I am in shock. And I am frankly shocked that you do not realize that this mother, I mean father, is in shock. I'm a single parent.
It's
do you understand me?
You got your own gender mixed up.
Her mother perished in a horrible van fire in an HOV lane not 6 months ago. All right? Now we can stand here and we can chat.
You're still wearing the ring.
About where... Okay, I've... You know what? You grieve the way you want to grieve. I'll grieve the way I want to grieve. Yes, I've remarried. Some said it was a little soon. The point is this. There is nothing that's going to get little...
Cicely?
Oh, yeah, or Sandy. Okay, Cicely.
Cicely and or Sandy?
All right. She's not dingo in the mouth of that Mexican who's hightailing it to what did I say, Guadalupe? Guadalajara?
Somewhere in Mexico, yeah.
Guadalajara something. He's not going to bring her back. But I was talking about it right here, right now. So I suggest you run. Uh-huh. Don't walk to that squad car of yours. Right. And I'm going to grieve the best way I can. Not grieving. I'm searching for her by hustling to work down this HOV line.
Okay.
Okay?
Frankly, I can't go on like this any longer. So you may get something in the mail in a few weeks that says
I hope
we're traveling.
It's an edible arrangeable with a great apologies in your name on the top of it.
All right, name will be on the top of it, I tell you
that
What's
much. Your badge number?
Good day.
Thank Hello. You. Well done.
That's what they should have
Adam
done.
Adam did all the hard work.
Thank you.
Little Sandy in Guadalupe.
Yeah, Craftsman, baby. Lowe's and Craftsman. Lowe's, new home of Craftsman. That includes their V20 cordless power tool lineup. Got all the good stuff there. You can get the variety packs. There's two tools, four, six, eight. They're combo kits. They got the 2-amp high capacity lithium battery that works with all the tools in their V20 lineup. You get good power. You get great runtime. Oh, man. Back when I started, cordless drills were so expensive. They didn't last at a 9.6 volt whatever. They didn't work. Now, they're great. The price is great. The durability is great. They got a brushless drill. They got the Max Impact Driver. They have the Max Hammer Drill. All there. All at Lowe's. Made in the U.S. of A. Proudly. Lowe's.com/Adam. Go there. Check out all the Craftsman tools.
We're back. Chris Laxmana here. Gio over there. We got another clip for you. This is Buck Sexton and Leon Felberg from 2012.
This is episode 825 of the Adam Carolla Show. This is before Buck Sexton joins them in studio. Leon Felberg, the composer of the Taboo 2 soundtrack, is joining them over the phone after he appeared at a live show and I assume gave Adam a CD copy of the soundtrack, which I guess Adam then gave to Balt Bryan, who plays it in this clip and promises you'll never have to hear the old crappy drops again. It's always going to be this beautiful CD-quality soundtrack. It's actually a really good soundtrack. I don't know why it's that good.
So there you go. CD-quality Taboo 2.
It's pretty good.
Only on the Adam Carolla Show. Check it out.
Leon is, you know, you've heard me talking about Taboo 2 since the Loveline days. Leon did the music for that. He came out and saw me in Thousand Oaks on Friday night. Leon?
Hello, this is Leon. Hi, Adam.
Good to speak to you, Leon.
My wife and I enjoyed your show. We haven't seen you live before, and it was quite impressive.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you for coming out to the show, and thank you for all the joy you've brought me with your wonderful soundtrack on Taboo 2. First off, what other music have you worked on? And you work outside of the porn genre?
Well, yes and yes, but in recent years, not so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm 58 years old, and 30 years ago, we did Taboo 2.
So that was 1982 that you did that?
That's correct.
And how does it work? Were you a porn musician or just a musician?
Oh, I was a musician-composer. Uh-huh. I was trying to break into some original music, and all of my idols, like Neil Diamond and Henry Mancini, who write all these music.
Sure. Pink Panther, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Neil Diamond's story was that he would have to hawk his songs in New York and write a song or two every day and and try and get airplay, and finally the Monkees started to play some of his music, and he started...
Sure.
Popular.
So
I was trying to compete directly with, you know, Michael Jackson and
done.
Yeah,
mission accomplished, buddy. Except for you're having the last laugh. You're still alive.
I appreciate that.
Hey, hold on, man. Let me ask you this. Sure. So somebody comes up to you and says, "We need 9 songs. I have $22. How's this going to work?"
Okay.
And who laid down this bass riff?
Oh.
Do you remember this?
That bass riff. I composed that bass riff, and I went to my close friend and guitarist, John Hathorn, who plays casuals and performances and studio work with me, and I said, we need a bass player. He introduced me to this fella, Greg Kanega.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm 28 years old. I'm 5'4", 125 pounds.
Yeah.
And Greg, not much more than that. And I wrote out the bass line, told him what we need, and he starts playing, but he gets doo doom boom, doo doom doom doom. It's kind of an effect.
And yeah.
I said, imagine we're 6'5".
All right, hold on, Leon. I know I don't need to get everyone's measurement. Like, I'm not making them tuxedos.
Okay.
But let me ask you this, Leon. Who did the lyrics to Taboo? Who did It All?
Oh, I did that.
That's your?
Adam, that track is called If You Only Knew.
Yeah.
You want to hear a quick rundown of the track titles?
Sure.
Well, the funky bass line was from the lead-off track, Why Does It Feel So Good? Then there's If You Only Knew, which is the Taboo 2 song you come
if
to know.
If you only knew
there's
just
a,
what
yeah,
you could
there's
do.
A 10-minute version of Gotta Get It On.
I know.
She Could Be Trouble.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
if you're going to do an orgy scene, you can't have a 2.5 minute track, or otherwise you got to start looping.
Yeah. She could be trouble.
That was a problem.
Yeah, no, I know.
She's on fire. I can't get enough of you. Turn me on. Playing with fire. Stormy Seas. Too taboo. And then two instrumentals of Why Does It Feel So Good, If You Only Knew. And finally, the opus, Don't Wake Your Mother.
Don't Wake Your Mother. Now, can you picture the girl who's making love to her brother?
Mm-hmm.
She creeps in to her father's bedroom. And when he finally wakes up as she's going down on him, all he could think of is, don't wake your mother.
Sure. Well, that's where the song title comes in. And now, does somebody come to you and go, look, there's a kid named Junior. He's like 20. He's porking his 16-year-old sister, and we need a song that would evoke the feelings that would come out during that action.
Essentially, yes. So the truth of how it happened, I was actually teaching guitar lessons to the producer's son at the time, and I had no idea what they were doing. I was doing industrial videos and straight film and commercials when I had met them and knew nothing about the porn industry, and I didn't know
Can we sing a little He's Got It All?
Oh yeah.
But you ever heard it in CD quality?
No. Oh. Yeah, it's good. Wow. Hear that acoustic guitar come through. Is that you, Leon?
That's John.
That's John, okay.
Yeah, that's John.
You want to sing with me?
Okay.
He has it all. Yes, he does. I can't hear you, Leon. He knows how to please in every detail. These are your words, buddy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He can do more than you could ever imagine. And do it with style. He does it with me. Here's what the lyric I like. Oh, yes,
he does.
See, that's a lyricist. That you knew him. You want to take this part? Take it, Leon. Go, Leon.
But you don't.
That's right. You
with
thought
feeling.
He wasn't fucking a family member. Oh. But you were wrong.
Only with you.
What he wants you. I would imagine you do a little bit of you keep it on the down low in the revealing department if you're fucking your mom and your sister too. But when he shows you what he's got, he satisfies it. Now, is this the sister singing or is this the girlfriend singing? Or
well,
Kay Parker?
It's the point of view of the girlfriend talking to her friend who is the sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually The vocal track was done by Pamela Stonebrook.
Sure. Who, God rest herself.
Tall, beautiful, and as nice as her voice sounds.
Hey, but this song was a launching pad for her career. And by the way, I don't even know why you bothered saying her last name. Everyone knows her just as Pamela. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
like
yeah,
Cher
and,
or Madonna.
But when the producer said to me, we needed a song for the Taboo theme that says basically... that this is taboo, this is forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
I was on vacation with my wife, and she came up with this idea, if this is wrong, why does it feel so good?
So you're
and
in
I
your,
couldn't
you're
relate
in, hold
to
on
him
a
to.
Second.
His
See,
wife.
I don't feel like my wife and I collaborate creatively enough.
She's 5'8".
I would like to have that kind of relationship where
yeah,
we're sitting around
right.
and talking about beach, like, look, all right, let me just give you the broad strokes. His name is Junior. He's hung like a black rhino. He's porking his girlfriend, his sister, and his mom, okay?
At the same time? Or the same,
well,
like in the same day?
Within the same day or
okay,
so.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I need to really capture where this guy's coming from. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his sister, you know, there's nothing weird about the relationship. I mean, she understands.
Aside
this
from
is,
the sex.
Well, she understands it's taboo. It's just he's so good at making love that almost any woman would just become putty in his penis. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right, and how can something wrong feel so good?
Oh, well, that's good.
Oh,
that's good,
okay.
yeah. Write that down. Start writing those beats down. Oh, wait a minute. Leon?
The song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The song, I can't relate to incest, so I was thinking about something I could relate to.
What?
I know many people who are overweight.
Necrophilia.
Obese.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chubbies.
And so I was thinking, if there I am at a buffet, if this is wrong, why does it taste so good?
Uh-huh. That's what
I was easy to relate to. And I started writing out, if this food is so bad, why does it taste so good?
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing and writing and writing, and then mm-hmm. I just moved a little bit of the lyrics to make it fit Junior and his sister.
Mm-hmm. Well, Leon, I want to thank you for carving time out of your busy porn composing day. And also want to thank, I think it was Matt Fondalier that caught you on Oprah talking about the 30th anniversary of Taboo 2 and steered you our direction. How much money would you say you made all total from Taboo 2? This has got to get it on. Who's playing the sax?
Well, okay, I took in a few thousand dollars myself over the cost of studio time
and
musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I made every movie that I did as perfect as possible to make the demo for my next show, because they were shooting on 35mm film.
Oh, tell that to Ray Romano. He thinks it's 6. He thought they shot Welcome to Mooseport on 16mm. It was embarrassing. Yeah, I know. Listen, it's high quality. I feel like Burt Reynolds and Boogie Nights here. I remember back in the day when we used to shoot on film. It was an art. It was an art form. And they hired real artists like Leon from Simi Valley to come in there and come up with songs like Gotta Get It On and Feel So Good. And Feel So Good Getting It On and Got to Feel So Good. Stuff like that. Hey, Leon.
Mm-hmm.
What you doing now? Do you have kids and do they talk to you?
Most of the time they do, yes.
Okay. Are they proud? Do they brag about you? Because if my dad was a composer for Taboo 2, I'd weave it into every conversation and job interview.
Hell yeah. Well,
thanks, Leon. Hold on a second. I think we have the Muzak version somewhere in that computer, too. He's, Leon, what do you think of this? This is what we play on Ace on the House. Sweet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. All right, buddy, we got to do a little bit of news, but I appreciate you calling in.
My pleasure. I'd like to get together with you.
Yeah, it'd be nice. We could make some beautiful music.
I bet you really could. What's the most believable in the movie? Is it the brother-sister or brother-mother or sister-father? That all happens, yes.
Oh, I forgot about the sister and the father. I can't
remember. Hello, don't wake mom.
I can't remember.
Mom, mother.
The sister and the dad. It's all believable. I don't know.
But after years of hearing it, you know, this warbly version, isn't it nice to hear it in, like, glorious CD quality?
Yeah, what do you do? Send that out to us?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, yeah, let's hear it one more time.
It's like he digitally de-jizzed it.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
There's nuances in this song that you never heard before.
Let's face it. Hall & Oates have a few songs that are worse than this.
Oh, sure.
Maneater's not as good a song.
It's kind of a beautiful song.
It's not as annoying as a lot of bad songs.
I like it.
And short.
It could be a Disney theme. Can you imagine, like, mice?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking each other to it?
Oh, yes, he does.
Very Rescuers.
There's a little subtle bass line in there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. And now everything is just the auto-tune. This woman had chops. These were craftspeople, you know what I mean? They were artists. I like this part. And when he does... He satisfies me. Yep.
Big finish. You only knew. Listen or hit this note.
Oh, listen. Just what he could do. You'd want him to if you only knew. Wow.
Finally, justice.
Yep. Geez, I watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, and I did not see Leon on there. But when the time comes, and there's no doubt that's coming, I will be the one who's doing the inducting. With the holidays here, meal prep, last thing you want to worry about. You don't need that on your plate. Cooking delicious, wholesome meals is easy with Blue Apron. Oh, man, do I love Blue Apron. I'm literally thinking about my favorite Blue Apron meal I've eaten recently. I can't even think of it because I just eat a new one every night. It's my favorite part. I go home. I open the box. They have the three meals in the box. I pull the glossy pictures out, and I fan them out in front of me, and then I point at one, and I hand it to Olga, and I yell, "Make it!" And I say, "How long?" She goes, 20 minutes, Mr. Adam. And I go, good, I'm taking a nap. And then I get up and devour it. It is the best. Easy to follow recipes, perfectly portioned ingredients. Never worry about last minute trips or forgotten ingredients. It's all there. And it's so much better than it needs to be. You tweet me. I defy you to tweet me and tell me you don't love this stuff. This week's menu, you can check it out and get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/Adam. You'll love it. BlueApron.com/Adam. Blue Apron, better way to cook.
All right, we're back. Got a few more clips for you on this Christmas Eve. Frank Stallone, my preferred Stallone. And what can you tell us about this one, Gio?
Adam Carolla Show, episode 913. This is from 2012. It's Frank Stallone. He's telling him the story of being hunted by a rooster when he became the ultimate prey.
Frank Stallone on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, it's funny though to have your 66-year-old brother probably telling Roy Jones. You know, you're 38 now. You should.
You know, Roy
now.
Jones never got back to him. Sly was one to use him in Rocky Balboa, and Roy Jones never got back.
It had to be his
big timed him.
He called him.
Had to be someone going, Slash Stone wants to do. No, man, I don't make music videos.
I
want to
take you higher part
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I don't make music videos, man.
No.
He got confused.
And he turned it down.
He turned it down?
I swear to God, he never got back to Sly.
He spends a lot of time in Dade County raising fighting cocks.
Cocks.
Yeah.
Under plexiglass.
Fights chickens. He's a chicken fighter.
Yeah, he is a chicken fighter. How come he can get away with it? And here, if you yell at your dog, you get fucking sent to the SPCA or whatever the fuck you do.
I don't know. I think part of it is living in Florida.
And he fights dogs, too.
Does he fight dogs?
Of course he does. He has cock roosters and dogs.
I didn't know. Dogs illegal. Cocks?
Not in where he's from.
Cocks, I think you can get a...
Nah, you can't fight roosters. You know, I got attacked
by... Oh, yes, you can.
I got attacked by one on Sepulveda Boulevard.
By a cock?
A cock. Yes, I did.
Wait a minute.
I will tell you, I swear. Okay.
You guys find out if you can fight roosters legally.
Okay.
I think you can get like an Indian casino. I think you can get like a cultural
and have
pass.
Fighting roosters?
I think if you're a black guy and your dad fought roosters, you can fight roosters too.
Maybe there's a grandfather law. Yeah.
You were attacked by a rooster?
Let me tell you what happened, man. I swear to God. I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning and I'd like walk and jog.
Ventura Boulevard.
No, Santa Monica
Boulevard. Santa Monica.
So I swear to God, I'm going down Santa Monica Boulevard. I got my headset on. It's about 3 years ago. And I turn right
Take at... Take it back.
You know where the New Art, Theater is?
Yeah.
So I make that corner. I think it's Sawtell. And I swear to God, it's like 5:30 in the morning. And I see these little chickens, like bantam roosters. But they're small.
Mm-hmm.
I go, fuck, man. They're like eating. Like
the one like your brother had to catch to be Gracie Lightning fast.
Shit. Thunder and crap lightning. There's chicken here. So anyway,
yeah.
I see it. I go, wow, man. You know, we had a farm growing up. I'm just fucking awesome. But they're on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like this really bad used car, like this Armenian, this used car place.
Mm-hmm.
So I go like this. And I go, wow, hey, what's happening, man? And the fucking thing attacked me.
Attacked by the
bit
chicken.
The shit out of me, yeah.
Really?
Because they can jump. And he went like
right.
Fuck. And pecked me and scratched me. You motherfucker.
Birds are mean.
Yes.
They don't like human beings or any other thing that runs
so
the earth.
So next day, so I said, I'm going to shoot this motherfucker tomorrow. So I had my 38, and I put snake shot in it.
Sure.
And I said, I was going to come by.
It's the right thing to do.
And he felt like he'd be able to identify that particular motherfucker.
If there was a rooster, he's getting shot.
Snake shot is basically a shotgun for your 38.
That's it.
Right.
And I was going to come by in the morning. I was going to throw like a piece of bread and cap that motherfucker.
Right.
Because I went to the police station. I said, no, I just got attacked by a fucking rooster. And they go, Well, what would you like us to do about it? I said, well, kill that fucker. You kidding? What happens if a little kid walked up to him and a rooster attacked? The fucking thing jumped. They can jump like 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's put down and destroyed.
And big spurs. Oh, I was laying. I swear to God.
Oh, wait. It had the razors?
Yeah. Well, they have big spurs. They put razors on them. So I talked to my friend across the street that has a body shop. I go, wait a second. Who the fuck? What are these roosters doing on Sawtelle?
Right.
Near the New Art Theater. He goes,
we got to get you a job.
These fucking Armenian guys. They've never sold a car, but there's something going on there. I said, like fucking illegal? Maybe fighting roosters or fucking like killing people and shit? Mm-hmm. But I said, if I see that fucking rooster, I said, I'm shooting that bitch. So I came by the next morning. I had a Colt hammerless bodyguard, Smith & Wesson Model 60, and I was going to cap his ass. And I would have been quick, just like,
yeah.
It's not loud.
Chicken never would have seen it coming.
Yeah, I just
snake pop. Shot's not loud.
No, I was just going like this. And I would just popped. I could have taken two with one, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fucking assholes.
So the chicken's not there. I mean, the
roosters. No, they disappeared, man.
Uh-huh.
I never saw them again. I think they went on the lamb.
It's not safe for us here.
Cocks on the lamb.
Cocks on the lamb.
In the United States, cockfighting now illegal in all 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. Let's see. Last state implemented the ban was Louisiana. What? The proof the ban was
legal in Puerto Rico and the Virgin
Islands. And on Sawtelle.
This is not to Puerto Rico, I know.
I'm envisioning a scenario in which the cop goes in the back, the rest of the cops goes, Frank Stallone just told me to ask me to shoot a chicken.
Yeah.
Yo, in Sawtelle.
That's right.
So that means Roy Jones was champ then, so maybe he was legal then.
I guess it was. I mean,
in
he
Pensacola,
didn't,
Florida?
He didn't make any bones about fighting cocks. Dog's part, I don't know about. I don't think you spoke about that.
I got to tell you,
are you still gunning for the rooster?
Well, I don't know. I think they're probably dead by now. But I got to tell you something. I'm not into dog fighting. Roosters, I don't really give a shit. I mean, it's not like I don't like fucking birds anyway.
Nobody should like birds.
I would never fuck a bird.
No, just for they're for eating.
Like, I was in my house, and all of a sudden, this screeching, screaming fucking for 20 minutes. And I looked outside the tree, and there was a whole tree of parrots.
Yeah, like there's wild parrots
wild
flying
parrots,
around.
And they squawk. And I
they're crazy. You went for the snake shot again, huh?
No, I went for the Benelli.
What's the Benelli?
It's a semi-automatic shotgun. And I was I was going to do some serious fucking damage. I had slugs.
We
got to
get you a gig, Frank.
No.
We got to get you
and
a gig.
And I wanted to sit under that fucking tree and just like...
Yeah, people don't realize that if you, I've seen them in Malibu. I've seen them in the hills
they're
up here.
They're
like, I've seen them in L.A.
There's
they're
so
like
much
green
lore
parrots flying
about
around
them too. Like evidently they all came from New York.
I have the had the party house in Sherman Oaks and would see just the schools
they're
of them flying by.
That,
yeah,
and then I saw and I saw some macaws. I go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, but put it this way, it's a bird. You open the window, he's going to sit in a cage where he shits on newspaper all day. Or he's got the opportunity. He's going.
That's right.
Would you? Sit there. Somebody go, would you like a cracker? Fuck you. I don't want to talk.
I agree.
Stupid bird. He wants to go fucking live out in the wild.
Listen.
He doesn't want to sit on a perch.
I hate birds.
And take a dump on like yesterday's newspaper.
They're meaner than shit.
They are meaner. I hate them.
I've said it a million times. If they were the size of even medium-sized dogs, we'd all be dead.
They would just land
on our heads
a
and pull them off.
A dog with the personality of a goose.
That's right.
Well, you know they're reptiles.
They're fucking horrible.
You know a raptor? That we think
yes.
They're reptiles. Look at their feet and things in their face.
Yeah. They should all be killed.
I think it's. I agree with that. I think it's a dumb, retarded pet.
Thank you.
It's like, I mean, they don't want to talk.
Frank, you should do a PSA for like the
parrots?
Humane Society. Frank Stallone, by the way. I'm Frank Stallone. Fuck fucking macaws.
Or
goddamn
hyacins.
Dolls.
Or yellow-naped. Or the African grays.
The only thing I like, I'll tell you the only bird I like.
The cockatoo.
Dead one.
Yeah, a dead one. I like a pelican just because of the
pure
novelty of them. I love to watch them dive into the bay, and I love that huge, those jowls that hang down under there.
And they're harmless.
Selfishness in this holiday season. Why buy a sweater for your uncle when you can get something awesome for yourself? Bespoke Post, box of awesome. My favorite way to treat myself monthly. Take care of yourself, man. Get yourself this box of awesome. Just received some incredible audio gear from these guys. I got a wireless speaker that sounds crystal clear. Bluetooth headphones. Nice studio ones, too. Not the little earbud types. Now, this stuff is good. It sounds good. It looks good. It is good. Visit boxofawesome.com. Answer a few questions to find the box of awesome that fits you. First of each month, you'll get an email with details. If you're not feeling that month's box, just skip it. Each box is under $50 and has more than $70 worth of unique gear. We've got so much cool stuff from these guys. Barrel-aged kits, limited edition cigars, weekend bags. Oh, yeah, that is a good one. I got my knife right here, which is just the highest quality. Bespoke posts, essential goods for the modern man. Treat yourself, right, Dawson?
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter code Adam at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code Adam for 20% off your first box. Bespoke post, themed boxes for guys that give a damn.
Oh, Gio, I'm excited for this one. You picked one of my favorite comedians of all time, Bill Burr.
This is episode 578 of the Adam Carolla Show from 2011. Bill Burr's actually been on the show several times, but many new listeners aren't aware of that, and they're like, when's Bill Burr coming on? So here's some Bill Burr, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. Adam and Bill are talking about pot brownies and mixing drug highs live on stage. And Adam tells a short version of the Zorback bus story where he inhaled exhaust and lost his mind temporarily.
All right, Bill Burr from 2011. Enjoy.
It is weird when you get high how weird things will happen to you. And you think, what the fuck? I'm high. Why is this? Why is there a kid? Why is there a kid wearing a bow tie and I'm high? Don't they know I'm high? Like, why is this weird timing?
And then you're like, are there always weird things happening and I just normally don't see them? Or is it because I have special high perception?
And he was talking that gibberish, like pebbles, like, God damn it, like, and I felt like I was this close to being able to understand it. I was just focusing on it. Yeah, that little fucking suit on.
I got...
Just freaked me out. It was horrible, horrible experience.
I ate a pot brownie on a plane once with Kimmel, and I was just eating my pot brownie on the flight, and it was funny because I picked up my pot brownie, started eating it, and Jimmy's like, hey, dude, be mellow, be cool. Like, don't... Come on, they'll see you. And I'll go, they just think it's a brownie, Jimmy. You diving on me with your jacket, that's drawing suspicion. They just think it's a brownie, you understand? They don't know I'm eating drugs right now. Although now I'm sure they suspect that you slapped it out of my hand and yelled, be cool.
I like his Starsky and Hutch dialogue. Be cool. Be cool.
Like, it was one
mellow
of those.
Out, man.
Yeah, I had to explain to them. For all they know, you see. But like later on, they're going to bring me a Mrs. Fields cookie. They don't suspect their drugs in that, do they? And the honey roasted nuts, those aren't laced with PCP. It's just, it's food. I'm allowed to eat it on the plane. I got carbon monoxide poisoning once, which is insane. And by the way, I would be a goddamn genius if I didn't get this carbon monoxide poisoning. I mean, I'm pretty sharp as it is. But if I was not, my brain was not poisoned at age 10, God knows, I'd probably be winning Pulitzer Prizes and taking home, medals of freedom and things like that. I was in the back of, speaking of stone things and activities, my mom, during the height of her hippiedom, was, I don't know what she was doing, dating, I don't want to know. You know, it's one of those guys who was hanging around after my dad moved out. Right. The dude's name was Zorback.
First name?
I'm sure his real name was Gerald, but he went by Zorback, you know. And he had like a converted mini school bus that he drove. You know, back in the day, back in the 70s, if you're a hippie, you could drive anything but a car. Dune buggies were fine. VW bugs were fine as long as they were turned into Baja bugs, sand rails, school buses, mail carts,
Pegasuses.
Anything. What's that?
Pegasi.
Anything but a fucking Dodge Dart, you know? And this guy had a school bus, like a mini one that he like converted into like a microbus, kind of like, you'd take out the back seat, you put some plywood down. It was basically mobile raping units, essentially.
MRU.
Yeah, it's like the MRU. Yeah, it's like, you're tired of the hassle of roofing the chick and dragging her all the way back to your apartment to rape her? We have an MRU. You park it out in the parking lot. Yeah, it comes to you. We come to you. Yeah, it's like the Bloodmobile or the Bookmobile, except for rape, you know?
And so I had one of these things, and we were going camping with my mom and Zorback, and I fell asleep. I was like went to bed in the back of, you know, the rape unit, you know, and this guy had like a screen door or something in the back, you know, like an open window or something, and all the exhaust. You ever drive, remember like in an old car, like you drive in a station wagon with the hatch up or something, and all that you could smell all the exhaust coming in because it creates a vacuum. And I fell asleep back there, and I got carbon monoxide poisoning. And they stopped at a supermarket on the way up to Mount Pinos or wherever we're going. And because they're, you know, great, great parents, they're like, hey, he's asleep. Let him sleep it off in the car. And they went off inside the market. Well, I woke up at some point, and I was drugged from this carbon monoxide poisoning. Jeez, and I also learned a very valuable lesson. People, if you want to kill yourself, this is the way to go. You just, and just a tip, if there are any teens listening, you know, you get some teens who think about killing themselves. They, you get groggy. All you want to do is go to sleep, and you just never wake up. I mean, you understand why people do it this way. And I somehow woke up, and I was groggy, and I was drooling all over myself, and I said, I got to go into the supermarket and find out what's going on. And I was just staggering around the supermarket. And at a certain point, I went and used the bathroom in the back and then lay down on the tile floor to go to bed. And a guy like got me up and said, you got to keep moving or whatever. And I walked out and I kept moving. I was like staggering around, sort of looking around. I had a Coke that I wanted to buy and I kept dropping it. And I was looking for Zorback and my mom. And then at a certain point, now here's the stoned weird part. It's all pretty weird, I know. But at a certain point, like a 40-year-old woman just comes up to me and hands me a you know, sack of jerky or something and goes, can you open this for me? And I was like tearing it and dropping it on the ground and trying to bite it and dropping it on the ground. But does that ever happen when you're not stoned or fucked up? You're just walking through the market and someone accosts you, hey, open this package for me? Only when you're fucked up do you see kids with suits and people ask you to open their packages in a supermarket, right?
Dude, Zorback is the worst name I think I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't have a dog that.
There could not be a time that you'd be more ill-equipped to open jerky.
No. Although I wanted the bounty that was inside the package very badly. I couldn't do it. I was drooling. I couldn't tear it. I had no motor skills.
There's no headache with that?
I was fucked up for like the next 48 hours. Like I got, you know, I probably killed a few hundred million brain cells.
With puking, nausea, or anything?
I had a headache, and I was like nauseous, and, you know, it took a day or two to sort of get out of me. But, yeah, carbon monoxide poisoning.
Fucking
good time.
Zorback.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You go right to sleep. That's what happens. That's what happened. What was the tennis player? It's Bjorn Borg. Yeah. No, it was Vitas Gerulaitis. Who's the tennis player? Just slept over at a guy's house and the heater was on the fritz and just died. Well, nobody?
I don't know.
I'm the only
one.
Fucking person in a room of 80 white people who knows this tennis player thing. Big name.
What year?
Big name happened 20 years ago. Maybe, happened about 20 years ago.
Oh, Arthur Ashe?
No.
Well, he died, right?
Oh, come on. That's AIDS. Jeez. God damn it. Jesus. That is good. I make the off color jokes. Was it Vitas Gerulaitis? Yep. Oh, it was.
Yeah. Oh, that guy was ranked like.
Why do I know shit? I got brain poisoning from carbon monoxide.
Well, you have a special aptitude for carbon monoxide news stories.
I guess
now.
That's what it is. That's all I remember is carbon monoxide related stories.
Well, I know that it has no odor and you can't see it.
He went. Find the story, Mike, but he went to some rich friend's house. The heater was like on the fritz, and this is why you got to douche your heater out every once in a while. It was not, the exhaust wasn't working right. It was bringing carbon monoxide. He literally just went to bed and woke up dead.
It could have been bad for him. All right. Gerulaitis died in an accident on September 17th, 1994, at age 40, while visiting a friend's home in Southampton. A malfunction in the heating system caused odorless, poisonous carbon monoxide gas to seep into the guest house where Gerulaitis was sleeping, causing his death. Gerulaitis is interred. means buried at St. John. Who cares? Yeah. Anyway, sucks for him.
Yeah, it does.
But now you could be a tennis star in his stead.
It's weird that I happen to know that little tidbit.
Here's what I want to know. Mm. Why do people eat pop brownies and then go do things where they have to be aware, such as taking a flight? Or like I have friends who had days in court and took acid beforehand. That never made sense to me either.
What?
Yeah. Who would do that?
Well, I was with someone who didn't know, like, the effects of it, had only smoked it. So I was with somebody really inexperienced. Mm. I should have only eaten half of one.
Not Doug.
And I didn't feel anything. And she's like, well, why don't you have another one? And then I have a sweet tooth. I'm walking out the house. I'll have another one. I got that little sugar rush.
You get a little stoned, and then you want to eat more brownies.
That was just out of pure ignorance. But I think I would know enough not to take acid. I didn't know that you could hallucinate if you had too much ganja in your system. I didn't realize that. I just thought you'd be really high.
Yeah.
No, eating pot's a much different animal.
Oh,
that is a mistress that will scratch you.
I had a pot cookie and watched the Oscars earlier this year. It was awesome.
Really?
Yeah,
I wish I fucking had a pot cookie or hit myself in the head with a frying pan or done something to make that shit tolerable.
No, my favorite part was when that guy, what's the name of the guy who hosted?
Peter Skerilinus?
No, not him.
James Franco.
James Franco. When he had that, I saw it when he quit. When he just said, you know what, fuck this. It was right after he came out dressed as Marilyn Monroe, didn't get a laugh. And he was like, really? Go fuck yourselves. And for the rest of it, I saw it in his eye. I'll read this shit, but, you know, I'm not trying.
Hold on, guys. This is going to be fun. He never was dressed like Marilyn Monroe. Am I right, people?
Yeah, he was. He came out in drag.
No, he was wearing a suit
the whole time.
Hand of God, I watched every second, right, people?
You guys saw
every second, right? Was he ever dressed like Marilyn Monroe?
Fuck all of you.
Absolutely not.
He did a bit, too. Yeah, you're full of shit.
Marilyn Monroe,
you're
saying happy birthday to the president?
You're not buying it.
Yeah, go off with your Rastafarian friends and play your bongo drums, you fucking hippie.
I'm not buying it. You guys just trying to get mad.
He wore a three-piece suit the entire show.
Yeah.
The entire, am I right?
Yeah.
I taped the thing. I watched it three times.
I don't even remember.
I don't know what you mean.
You're talking too loud to not be lying. The truth does not need to be screamed.
Excuse me.
He always talks loudly.
Right.
So remember people's eyebrows go up to their fucking hairline.
Yeah. What?
They're full of shit.
Listen, Bill Burr, I would not lie to you.
You are
honestly
also full of shit. I'm not buying it. I know what I saw.
I can't believe your friends dropped acid before they went to court.
I know. It's stupid. And then in college, this other guy took 5.5 tabs of acid.
What?
And the thing that we were always talking about after that, and then he got in trouble with, and like had some screaming match with the dean. But the whole thing was,
it was really with a park bench, but anyway.
But why?
I thought it was the dean.
Why the extra half a tab of acid?
Yeah, like 5.5.
Six was too much?
Six, a little rich for my blood. 5, come on. I got to roll. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. But I will tell you this. There's not a science to pot brownies, and that's why we need to figure this out. Because it used to be the same with mushrooms. Mushrooms. Anyone ever do the mushrooms out here? Yeah, there we go. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, it's funny because on one hand, you don't want to completely freak out and just have a psychotic episode. On the other hand, you're not going to chance not getting incredibly high.
Right.
So you have to try to balance it out. And, yeah, I remember the worst... The worst is the combination. Like, if you're high on mushrooms and everyone else is high on mushrooms, then you're cool. But if you're high on mushrooms and one of your buddies shows up high on coke, you're fucked. I got really high on mushrooms. And my buddy, who was going to school in Boulder, Colorado. Mushrooms, Colorado, Boulder, everything. He comes back with a pillowcase filled with mushrooms, thinking he was going to sell them and live off the summer. Here's the deal. Don't deal mushrooms if you really like eating mushrooms.
That goes for all drugs.
Rule number one. That's right. I don't care what you're selling. It was the same thing. It was like when I played Pop Warner football. Every year they do the candy drive. Right. They give me the brick of candy bars. There'd be 12 of them in there, and I was supposed to sell them for $1 a piece, and then return the $12. I would return half a candy bar and $2, and the other 7 went to my fucking head every time. I ate every time I was at a deficit. But the point is he ate them, Donnie ate them, I ate them, and we all got high as a goddamn kite, and it was awesome. Until my buddy Ray showed up, and Ray was high on coke, and Ray started picking Donnie up and throwing him around, and I was like crying, don't hurt him, don't hurt him. Then the worst thing that can ever happen to you when you're high on mushrooms is Ray's girlfriend, who was also high on coke, locked me in the bathroom to confront me.
About what?
Cokeheads are just not
it
fun.
It was one of those super high coke moments where she was like licking her lips and doing that thing, you know, like what was that movie with Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan? They're doing the movie.
Night at the Roxbury.
Night at the Roxbury. She's doing the Night at the Roxbury movie. And she was like, listen, I know Ray's one of your best friends, all right? And I'm his girlfriend. And I want us to be friends. Oh. And I know there's a weird vibe between us. And I know you feel protective of Ray. And I'm like, I don't feel... I love everyone. I love everyone. I love everyone. And she's like, I know it's weird. And you feel I'm taking Ray away from you. And that you don't have a girlfriend. And we're not spending enough time together. Oh, and it's God. Always this weird energy between the two of us. I can feel it in the room when we're together. And I'm like, there's no weird energy. There's no weird energy.
There's one energy.
Ray's banging on the door. What's going on in there? And I'm like, nothing. She's like, don't answer the door. We're not done talking. I'm like, yes, we're done talking. Yeah, so you don't want to mix. Look, nothing wrong with a coke high and nothing wrong with we have a lot of teens listening. There's nothing wrong with a coke high and there's nothing wrong with a mushroom high. Don't lock them both in the same bathroom. That's all. The more you know, Brian. Come on, buddy. Wake up. Wake up. The mushroom queen back here knows what I'm talking about, right?
People on coke, they're just not fun. It's everybody's got to be on it, or after a while they think you're a cop.
Right.
That's basically
right.
what happens. And then the energy gets fucked up. And
right. Yeah, it's like what the teacher said with the chewing gum. Did you bring enough for the whole class?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you bought a couple 8-balls, keep it to yourself.
It's sort of like that.
It's exactly
gum,
that
you
way.
You chew it too. Everybody chews it.
Yeah, everybody
gets
the
fuck out of here. You have something you'd like to share with the class?
Yes, you bring enough. I love it like that. One time I'd like to go, yeah, I brought a fucking case, cunt. Here you go. Spread it out. Did you bring enough for the rest of the class?
Well.
By the way, that's exactly how life works. You can't pull up in a Mercedes unless you have enough for everybody. Fuck that. It's a horrible message to send. Thank you. Thank you. All right, people, let's not procrastinate. We've been doing enough of that all year. You need to get Simply Safe. Simply Safe is extending their holiday sale, but it's going to end soon. Simply Safe believes nothing should come between you and protecting your home. I agree. No contract ever. No markups. No middlemen. No installation windows. Oh, the guy will be there. The ex-felon will be there in the van from between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on 5 Tuesdays from now. If a storm takes out your power, an intruder cuts your phone line or destroys your keypad or siren, Simply Safe is still going to be ready. Just go to Simply Safe, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam, and order before January 8th. Save with their extended holiday sale, peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. Simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
All right, we're back with another clip for you. This one features Fitz dog, Greg Fitzsimmons. This one's from 2012. Also, Greg is our very last guest.
On episode 2478 of this year, where he actually references this very clip, and he references about 5 other things from the show's history that are going to be featured in these Corolla Classics over this holiday break, and all of these were picked before that episode was recorded, so it's this great great magnet coincidence, and you're going to hear all of these weird things that were mentioned on that second-to-last episode.
Enjoy and hang tight. Greg Fitzsimmons, 2012.
Fitzdog, you want to try a little of my mangria?
I haven't had a drink in 21 years, but
thank you. Well, this is a good drink to go back to drinking with?
Is that a yes or a no?
Yeah, just answer the fucking question. 21 right. years.
I'll have a little bit.
Just a little taste. Now, are you one of those, I mean...
I'm not like a guy who has to go to meetings. Jesus Christ. I just said I'm not drinking anymore. My father died young of it. My grandparents all died. Everybody died young in my family. I never met three of my grandparents. We don't
really?
Last. Yeah, we have a problem.
Wait, so, I haven't met three of my grandparents either.
Yeah, but that's because of your drinking.
Oh, that's my... Well, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's putting straight scotch in my bottle,
put
my
it
sippy
on that.
Cup. All right, you want a little taste?
Yeah, I'll take a taste.
Oh, so you're not weird about it?
No, I'm not having a taste. What the fuck?
I feel weird.
You are
this.
Weird about it.
I mean, that's really a fucked up thing to do to
weird?
Somebody.
Come
yes.
on, what are you uptight? Yeah. Were you chicken? Come on.
It's
you want to do what the cool people do? Because the cool kids are drinking mangria.
Yeah, but
oh wait. Just, well, here's my question.
I don't feel good about me.
What I'm saying is cannot if it passes your lips, or is it back on? Is the 21 years erased? Is that the way you think?
What's wrong with you? Like that's
I know
that
I,
is no, a, I, you I, really want me to have a sip of this?
The way you think,
like who
it'd
would,
be nice. It'd
who,
be nice.
Give me the drink.
I'd move a couple.
Give me the drink.
I'd move a
now,
couple.
I don't
units.
Think you have the balls to actually give me the drink right now.
Well,
because if things got real bad. My wife would come to your house and be like, I heard. It's not like there's not proof that you were the one.
Right. We're talking
about
it.
You got millions of people uh-huh. that can attest to the fact that you were so fucking alpha male
mm-hmm.
and such a teenager.
Right.
You couldn't handle the fact that I made a positive choice in my life and you had to suck me down. And that's in the fucking annals forever.
So you're saying you're uptight.
I'm saying you're afraid to hand it to me right
all
now.
Right. Listen, I'll hand it to you right now.
No, you're
all
not handing it to me.
Well, okay. Well, listen. I don't want any trouble, and I don't want one of those things where I'm like, listen, Mrs. Fitzgerald, I'm sorry for your loss.
Fitzsimmons, it's nice.
Well, you know, I've had a couple
of
cocktails.
11 years coming on.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Fitzdog back and news. Yes, Allison Rosen?
Yes. Even though I didn't get the iPad, I will still do news.
After this. Well, it's Craftsman, it's Lowe's. What else do you need to know? They got a new power lineup. They got the V20 cordless power tool lineup. One battery works multiple systems. So you got the one battery, and it'll work the drill. It'll work the brushless drill. It'll work the impact driver. It'll work the hammer drill. It's a 2-amp, high-capacity lithium battery, and it'll go from tool to tool to tool, charges fast, lasts long. These things are bulletproof, and now Lowe's is the new home for Craftsman. I love me some Craftsman tools, and I'm so glad they found a new home. Proudly made in the USA with global materials from Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest in Craftsman products and updates, go to Lowe's.com/Adam. Lowe's.
All right, we're back with one more clip for you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This one features Rainn Wilson, David Koechner, live show. Now, they're going to recall an infamous phone prank that Rainn and Adam did to Dave about a year prior.
Correct. We played that as best of earlier this year in the old format best of where we played an entire full show. It was one of the ones I helped select. And now this is the payoff to that phone call. It's Rainn, David Koechner, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop live on stage with Adam. The guys attempt to have a meal on stage, which does, you know, goes about as well as you think a live meal at a comedy club would go. But later in the show, they recount the infamous prank and play some clips, and it is very funny.
Rainn Wilson, David Koechner, live from 2017. Enjoy.
Dave, was this the dinner you envisioned with Adam and or Rainn?
Did we even set up
no,
that story?
No,
we
did not.
No, okay, Gina, will you set up the story, please? We need to include
Gina
you.
Will set
well,
up.
I'll just say personally, it was one of the most uncomfortable days of my life. I was sitting in between Rainn and Adam, and they thought they would pull a little trick on their friend Dave.
It was February 2 years ago, right?
Oh, you remember the day.
Well, I know it was February because I happened to be in my office, yeah. And I was looking at the calendar when Rainn Wilson called me, but I'm already ahead of the story. So when did your television show... When you're a detective.
Get canceled?
No. We all know it got canceled. But, when was it? It was just debuting in February of...
That's right.
Of 20...
Two years and 3 months ago or something. No, is that right? I can't remember. The years all blur.
Okay, so 2 years ago, February, Adam Carolla, you do a podcast. Is that right, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And you're having the wonderful Rainn Wilson on. He's talking about his show.
Why are we getting feedback?
I
That's not a good thing for a podcast.
I know.
All right, wait, let's try.
I think
are you doing ship noises?
I'm going to stand over
there,
here.
There
go ahead, Gina.
The Merrimack and the
monitor.
Go ahead, now, Gina.
So, Gina, go ahead. So,
oh, no, I believe Rainn called you first, correct?
So they're doing
no,
the podcast.
No, Adam called him first, I think.
The conversation started when Adam and Rainn were talking about, don't we all have that one person who you're supposed to have dinner with, but it kept getting pushed off, and you both had the same person?
Right. Yeah. For me, it's Bill Cosby. On the sink, he's bumping.
It was also a
never
sleepover.
In town.
This is a group effort. All the characters are present.
Go ahead.
So you thought you'd play a little joke on Dave, unassuming, nicest guy at home doing crocheting, needle pointing, and
off on onion rings. Go ahead.
Yep. You gave him a call and asked him to dinner, right?
Yeah, and I set a specific date, right?
Yeah,
was it like
can you
do March 17th or something like that?
And, and Dave
it was February,
overjoyed.
But go ahead.
He was overjoyed. Your heart was warm, and you agreed to go.
He had picked a date, and I said, you know what? I'm looking at my calendar right now. That date is open. Let's do it.
Should we play the clip, Chris?
Do you have it? Oh, this is...
Chris, do I need to set up anymore? Okay, we'll play the actual phone call.
I love it.
Okay.
And then you can shut my mic off, and I'll eat some dessert in a little bit.
Hello?
Hey, Dave, it's Rainn Wilson. I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
You know, I've just been thinking, sorry to call you out of the blue, I've just been thinking about how we've always talked about getting the wives together for dinner. It's like for years. And I'm just wondering if next week you guys want to get together. Let me see here about the 20th.
Right now it's open.
Wow.
I don't have anything on my calendar.
That would be so cool. That would be so cool.
Right.
Hey, listen, I'm just seeing that this guy's at my door. I gotta hop off real quick. Can I call you back just in a few minutes and we'll just kinda confirm some details?
Got it.
Okay, I'm gonna call you back in just a second. Sorry, man. Someone's at the door.
He's already lying. All right, go ahead.
All right. Then I decided to call.
Good.
You're a really good actor.
That was good.
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
Hey.
Hey, Dave, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Are you working? What's going on?
Today, I'm just writing.
Huh?
Worked a little bit last week.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about this, and we're always talking about like getting together with the wives and going out to dinner and all that stuff, and I just thought, you know what? At some point, I got to pick up the phone.
I love it.
And I just thought, you know, you're at the top of my list. I don't know what the wives. I know Lynette's probably around, but you got a date that works coming up? I'm just checking my calendar.
Can I just tell you an incredibly coincidental story that happened 3 minutes ago? Rainn Wilson just called me and said, you know, we've been talking for years about getting the wives together for dinner. Do you
the office guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He does a Backstorm, too, or something now, right,
yeah,
on Fox?
He called 3 minutes ago and said, when are we getting the wives together? Let's pick a date. So I said Friday the 20th, because that's the next one coming up.
That is Jesus
so
Christ.
Goddamn funny. No,
well,
Rainn
sounds like a great guy, but you and I kind of go back, you know? I mean, because the 20th was... What I was kind of looking at it too. You think
that is so fucking funny?
We do lunch with Rainn and do dinner with me and Lynette. You know, he's more of like a brunch guy. Like have like eggs a la Fizdale or something with Rainn and his old lady, and then step up to some steak with the Carollas.
Oh shit!
Well, I'm picking a date, and I'm going with the 20th.
But I already told him the 20th.
Oh, you know, first off, these fucking celebrities are all high. You could call them back and like, tell them you rolled an ankle or something, you know? So check with Lee, give my love to Sarge, and let's go for the 20th.
Okay.
All right, love you, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
Then Rainn called back?
Oh, it doesn't end there.
Yep.
I call my wife in the meantime going, you're not going to believe what just happened.
Of course, we're sitting in a studio together in Glendale. Do you have the next
Dave,
one?
Dave, hey, man. Sorry about that.
No worries.
No, they were delivering some horse food, hay and stuff. It's crazy. So, anyway, going back to the 20th, we good?
I think so. I got to confirm with Lee.
Okay. All right.
Let me call her. And then I got to go to Sergeant's football practice now. But then,
Sergeant who?
I'll let you know. My son, Sergeant.
Oh, Sergeant. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm teasing you. I knew that.
All right. All right. We'll figure this out.
All right. Yeah, just get back to me.
All right, we'll do.
Awesome. I love you. Bye bye.
So then I called back?
Yeah. Then you called back and tried to also. All right. Let's listen.
That's all you got, Max Bata? Oh.
You don't have the end of the movie? Anyway.
Where Mark Wahlberg throws the nuclear football?
Yeah.
Through the DMZ.
So I call my wife and say, wow, this is really weird. She goes, yeah, whatever. Then I head out, because I did have to take my son to flag football practice. These pricks called back to let me off the hook. Because of some, they started feeling guilty. They're like, oh, shit. I feel terrible about it.
I did, because you're so nice.
I know, but in my mind, I was going to fix it anyway. In my mind, I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to have everybody come out to dinner together. Since you were the 20th and Rain was the 20th, I thought, that'll be easy. We'll all have fun. I'll introduce you two guys is what I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah, sure. Little do you know that neither one of us wants to go out to dinner with you.
2 years later, Mike August calls and says, hey, can we get you on Corolla again? We're going to do a show out there in Coxnard. And I said, I'll do it under one condition. You get Rain Wilson on the goddamn show. And you
Wait. I was sloppy seconds on this podcast?
No, I was
Wait
not...
a minute. This was supposed to be an Adam Carolla, Dave Koechner thing, and
no.
I was...
And I said,
I got shoehorned into the.
Yeah,
this
I
is
said
bullshit.
The only.
Oh,
Rain,
oh.
No, please.
Oh,
come
no,
back.
Don't,
Rain,
don't. You can't eat
please,
tacos
down,
and leave him mad. Oh.
And the Merrimack took on the Monitor. There was shells that night.
That was like a WWE moment.
That was.
Like the fake storm off.
Threw
and
a napkin at me. I said good day. You know, I'm watching you two eat each other's dessert.
Yeah.
And
is that a euphemism?
I just realized. We should just call it what it is, because that's what I do. If I go out to eat and my wife gets the cheesecake and I get the creme brulee, we then eat across the table at each other. So it's like when I'm asked for my dessert order, I should just go, what do you want?
They're doing it honeymoon style.
Oh, the honeymoon style.
I love you, Dave.
I love it.
You too.
Spritz of hot H2O, that talcum powder dunk down below. We're coating on his pube curls, growing some for Monday cheeses. Sweating, swampy, his ass has got to smell shitty. His musk is strong like a sumo thong. He stinks so bad, but he's witty. His balls smell like clams, like the boots of a fisherman. His nuts smell like clams, make my nose want to retire, man. His junk reeks like clams. No showers for the ace man. His balls smell like clams. Lynette, Natalia, your sonny hosing down. His balls stink, hallelujah. His balls stink, hallelujah. His balls stink, hallelujah. His downtown funk gon' give it to you. His downtown funk gon' give it to you. His downtown funk gon' give it to you. Since New Year's showering, he has not. Jesus, Adam, just wash. Come on.
All right, so there you go. 7 Corolla Classics right there for you. Hope you all enjoy your Christmas tomorrow. And thank you, Gio, for sending all this up.
Of course. And let us know what you think of the new format, Corolla Classics. If you prefer this to full show best of, let us know on social media. Tell Adam. Enjoy.
The Adam Carolla Show returns with all new episodes January 4th. It's a Friday because Adam didn't want to wait till Monday.
Awesome.
The following Monday, he wanted to get right to work when he gets home from Hawaii. So State of the Union, January 4th, Friday. So thanks so much for listening. For Superfan Giovanni, this is Chris Loxamana. We appreciate it.
Get it on.